from Storyflow. This is your daily audio brief for July 14th. Hey Iris, July 14th, 10 stories, 1 trial, 3 reviews, 6 takes you can actually use. Let's get into it. First, from Sincerely Vivi. 65, my Oxford interview. I was scrolling through my UCAS offers, thrilled to have LSE, UCL, King's and Queen Mary waiting for me. I'd picked them like a quick lunch choice, never really eyeing Oxbridge. Then, out of the blue, an Oxford letter popped up, shortlisted for a law interview. My heart jumped. I'd never imagined going there, especially when I'd already set my sights on London life. I told my parents, grabbed a small suitcase, and took the rain-soaked bus to the campus. The town felt gloomy, and I was alone, but I reminded myself of the pride they'd feel. I walked up to the receptionist, introduced myself, and tried to smile, ready for whatever came next. Next. Second, from Family Defence Network, parental rights, AI as parents, and screen addiction. Parents are still the primary decision makers for their kids, and recent court rulings are reinforcing that right, especially when school teachings clash with religious beliefs. Those cases will shape how schools handle parental notification, religious liberty, and family autonomy, so staying in touch with your district is worthwhile. AI is now a daily tool for kids, doing homework, answering emotional questions, and brainstorming ideas. The technology itself isn't the problem. The concern is that screens can displace real relationships. Every hour on a device is an hour missed for talking, laughing, and building emotional resilience together. A simple way to counter that is to set aside regular, screen-free family time. Aim for at least 4 phone-free meals this week. Research links consistent family meals to stronger bonds and better emotional outcomes for children. Small, intentional habits often make the biggest difference. Up next, third, from Gvela. Rachel Israel made an incredible movie about Jewish summer camp. Even though she was never a camper, Rachel Israel's newest film, The Floaters, finally landed after a knotty production. She shot it while 6 months pregnant, battling heat, a busted fan, and even a broken toilet at the camp set. She literally flushed the loo with shower water. The crew also navigated a SAG-AFTRA strike, bear sightings, lightning storms, and a COVID outbreak, all on a tight budget. The story follows a fictional Jewish summer camp, Camp David, and a group of misfit campers called the Floaters. The cast is a mix of familiar faces: Jackie Tone as a reluctant but talented counselor, Sarah Podemski as her best friend camp manager, Aya Cash as an enthusiastic rabbi, Steve Guttenberg popping up as an old counselor, and Seth Green stealing scenes as the head of rival Camp Barak. The younger actors, Thani Brandt, Jacob Moskowitz, Jim Kaplan, Jake Ryan, brought extra depth through improvisation and off-camera bonding. Israel, who never attended a Jewish camp herself, says the experience forced her to discover that world from the inside. She wanted the film to feel like the camp's Rikud vibe, a burst of youthful energy, friendship, and the freedom to be someone different for a summer. The result is a warm, offbeat comedy that leans more on camaraderie than romance, aiming to capture that fleeting, joyful summer feeling anyone can relate to, even if they never set foot in a camp. And then, fourth, from Kvela. This Jewish ritual helps me and my family slow down. I'm sharing a quick take on a personal piece about a simple Jewish practice that the author uses to hit pause during a hectic summer. It's not a study, just a first-hand story. So the evidence is the author's own experience of feeling more grounded after adding a moon blessing ritual to the family's evenings. The writer describes how, despite hopes for lazy garden afternoons, the days are filled with screen time battles and endless to-dos. Stumbling on the blessing of the new moon, Kiddush Levana or Birkat Hachodesh, felt like a small, intentional break, stepping outside, spotting the thin crescent, and reciting a short prayer that ties the night sky to centuries of Jewish tradition. Because children naturally notice the world around them, worms, clouds, fireflies, the ritual becomes a shared moment where adults can reconnect with that curiosity. The act of looking up together, even for a few minutes, offers a quiet reminder that time moves on whether we notice it or not, and that gratitude can be woven into everyday life. If you're looking for a low-key, meaningful activity to slow the summer rush, gathering the kids after dinner to watch the moon and say the blessing can be a gentle way to create that pause. Next, fifth, from Munch Menus. Munch Menu Y20. If you're new here, welcome. To get started, check out my first Munch Menu, which includes my dietary philosophy and an overview on how to use these weekly meal plans. Also, make sure to stock up on my mostly non-toxic Munchkin kitchen essentials, which help make meal prep much easier. We've been in a bit of a scheduling predicament since setting up shop in Spain, which is that even if your child no longer naps, siesta for all ages is real. The best part of the day begins at 7 p.m. As the heat becomes borderline tolerable, the town comes alive. Shops reopen. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow. That's your brief. Find every story and claim your own free feed at storyflow.com.